Rolling. We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Halva, Halacha Gimel, Paragraph Ches. We said that this halacha is based on chapter 22 in Likutei Moran, which addresses the topic of Azus Digdusha. And we spoke at length about the concept of Azus Digdusha versus Azus the Sitra Achra. The right kind of Azus, a healthy, important, critical kind of Azus, like the Mishnah says, Hevi Az Kanomer, that in order to be religious, in order to get close to Hashem, to Tzadikim, a person must have strength. It takes strength, it takes backbone, it takes brazenness sometimes. Azus, chutzpah, a holy chutzpah. And at the same time, the same Mishnah says, Az Ponim LeGehenim, that one wrong turn, the slightest mistake in Azus, a person shows the wrong type of chutzpah, chas v'shalom, against Hashem or against another Jew, and it's a one-way ticket to Gehenna, chas v'shalom. Terrible, terrible. Now, Rav Nosson Zal is going to move into another topic, the topic of the shkolim, the machtzis hashekel. Interesting coincidence that we're learning this now, and just a few days ago, those that learned Daf Yomi started Masechet Shkolim. That's the Masechta that's being learned now. And Rav Nosson Zal is going to clarify the whole concept of the Shekel and the Machzis HaShekel based on this, what we spoke about earlier. Paragraph Ches, V'zehu b'china shkolim, sheniskashe moishe bohem, whereby the Gemara tells us that there were three things which when Hashem presented it to Moshe Rabbeinu, he had tremendous difficulty understanding it. He couldn't understand them. And the three things are Roshei Tevois Moshe. The Mem stands for the menorah, the Shin stands for the shkolim, the He stands for HaChodesh. The whole concept of the moon, the lunar year versus the solar, the new moon, how we gauge that. Ad Sheher Eloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matbea Shalesh, until the Gemara says that Hashem had to show Moshe Rabbeinu a coin in fire, the image of a coin in fire, v'omar loy, and Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, ze yitnu, this is exactly what they should be giving. As the word ze implies that he showed him the actual object. V'lechoyro hadovor tamua, Rav Nosson Zal says there seems to be something very strange here. The other two things, the whole concept of the new moon and how we determine it and everything related to it, and also the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash, shayach lehiskashe saleim. We could understand how anybody, even Moshe Rabbeinu, would have difficulty understanding them. Because there's incredible deep wisdom in how the menorah was constructed and everything that it represented, and also the whole concept of the moon, the lunar year, how that works and everything. Those are very deep things. Aval shkolim, shetzrichim kol echad v'echad liten machtzis ha-shekel b'kol shana, but regarding this donation to the Mishkan, or the donation to the Beis HaMikdash, that every Jew was required to contribute in order to maintain the sacrifices and the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash of the Mishkan, ma kishri havona shayakan. What could there possibly be difficult to understand regarding the shekel or regarding the machtzis ha-shekel? Ach be'emes, Rav Nosson Zal says, however, the truth is, nesinas shkolim lechaper al bnei Yisrael, hu bechinas tikun ho'azus digdusha. This concept of the Jews contributing these shekels, these half shekels, to atone on behalf of the Jewish people, because that's what it says there in the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, lechaper al nafshay seichem, that this will also serve as a kapora, an atonement. This is tied into the whole tikkun of Azus, of the holy Azus. Ki ikar ho Azus hu b'momoin. Because the main area which is most susceptible to chutzpah is money. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Oshir yane Azus. A rich person answers with chutzpah. Rich people talk nasty sometimes. They talk arrogant. They talk with brazenness. Bechinas, and as there's another pasuk that says, Hoin Oshir Kiryas Uzoi, the wealth of a wealthy person is his fortress, his fortification. It's his city of strength. Again, that word ois. V'Yisroel bo lidei cheto egel, shehu azus godoel moid, and we know that the Jewish people got involved in committing the sin of the golden calf, which is incredible chutzpah. They just got married a couple of days ago. They were under the canopy with Hashem. There was a wedding. B'yoyim chasunasoy, the Gemara says, zu matan Torah. The wedding day was matan Torah. And the ksuba was the Torah. Everything was all signed, sealed, and delivered. And the Gemara says, at that point in time, all of the tumah, all of the impurity that human beings lived with from the time of Adam and Chava for 2,500 years came to an end. It stopped. And then a couple of minutes later, they get involved in idol worship. Can't get more chutzpah than that. Shehu azus godol moy. This was an incredible display of brazenness, of chutzpah towards Hashem. Ho ikar hoyo al yedei ribui hazov shoylehem. What motivated that, what was behind that was the enormous amount of gold that they were lugging around, that they were schlepping around from Egypt and from Kriyas Yamsuf. Kamei Shekosuv, as it says in the beginning of Chumash Dvarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu is reminding the Jewish people and reminding Hashem of what happened, he uses the words vidi zahov, and an abundance of gold. We know what that led to. And as the Gemara says, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, what are you complaining about? What's your claim? Because of all of this gold that you gave them, what did you expect them to do? You can't make matzah brei out of gold. You can't bake challah out of gold. So they made idols. What else could you make out of gold? Ushkolim shenoisnen lamaisi ha-mishkon ulekorbonos sibur. And the shkolim, which the Jewish people donated to support the Mishkan, all the activity in the Mishkan, and for communal sacrifices that would be brought, heim tikun chet zeh. That serves as the tikun for the golden calf. K'may Shom Rabbi Senuzal, as the Gemara says, she'ikr hashkolim v'nidvas ha-mishkan ho'yelechaper alavoyin ho'egel. That's what it was really all about, those donations of the shkolim and the other contributions to the Mishkan. Sheshkolim heim tikun ho'azus digdusha, because shkolim is the tikun, helps us perfect holy azus to replace the other kind of azus. Valze niskashe Moshe ma'oid, and this is what Moshe Rabbeinu had incredible difficulty understanding. That why in the world would we get involved in Azus if we saw what Azus caused, if we saw that Azus, wealth, money, chutzpah, caused a golden calf, you would think, keep far away from it. Don't go anywhere near Azus. And here Hashem's telling the Jews to take money, and you would think Hashem would say, no money. A Jew's not, money is muktzah, not on Shabbos, 7 days a week. Stay away from money, because money gets you into Avodah Zarah. So stay out of it completely. Logically, we would think that the Jews should stay far away, to the furthest extreme possible, away from Azus. Since Azus is what brought them into this terrible sin of the golden calf. Uboemes, however, in truth, loichein hadovor. That is not the solution. That's not the right way. Ki afal pi shetzrichen lehisrachek mehoazus moid moid. Because even though a Jew has to distance themselves from Azus far, far away, keep back 2,000 feet, not 200 feet, keep back 2,000 feet from Azus. Why? Because the Mishnah says, ki az ponim legehenem. Because if you don't, if you become an azus ponim, as they call it, you're going to go to Gehenem. It's going to be a one-way ticket. Afal pikein, despite that, still, behechrech tzrichin azus digdusha. A Jew must have holy azus. Ve'efsher l'skara v'lakedusha, it is impossible to come close to holiness, to fulfill any mitzvah, to come close to Hashem, to come close to tzaddikim, kim al yedei azus digdusha, unless a person has a certain degree of chutzpah, brazenness of holiness. We know that one of the most difficult things in life possible is to find one's soulmate, to find one's zivug. What could be more difficult than that? How in the world are you supposed to figure out, I have a hard enough time understanding myself, how am I going to understand someone else? And how am I going to figure out if we are one? How am I supposed to know if this is my match? Read the label. Where's the label? Where's the thing that says that this is left and this is right? If there were a label on the girl, I could know exactly. But since there is no such label, how in the world is a Jew expected to find the right person? Problem number one. And if they did find the right person, how in the world would they know? Question number two. And number two, once they think they know, how in the world is a person expected to pull that trigger? To say, yes, I want you to be my... When for all he knows, he's pulling the trigger right on him. For all he knows, he's digging a 3,000-foot ditch from himself that he ain't ever going to get... How are you supposed to know? And how are you supposed... What does it take? One of the ingredients is Azus Digdusha. It takes a certain holy guts. It takes guts. It takes strength. Person jumping out of plane, a parachuter jumping out of that plane for the first time, he trains and trains. There's a lot of training and all, with simulators and everything. But when he's in that plane or in that helicopter, and they're X thousands feet up in the air, and they say jump, the person has to have a certain level of faith in Hashem, faith in himself, all of those things, that a certain azus that gives him the guts to do it, to do it. And Rabbeinu Zal writes in that Torah, behechrich, this is a mut. There's no, it can't be religious, can't do mitzvahs, can't come close to Hashem, can't come close to tzaddikim, unless you have some of this stuff. V'alkein, and therefore tzrichin lishkoil drochov moed. A person must weigh. They must weigh things very carefully. They have to examine and weigh things very carefully. Sheyiloi azus digdusha daika, to make sure that he only sticks to holy azus. V'afal pikein lo yia nichshal chas v'shalom ba'azus the sitra achra, and still he stays far, far, far away from that other azus, the azus of the satan. U'kimavur sham b'soif hamaimranal, as Rabbeinu Zal explains at the end of chapter 22 in Likutei Moran, she'alze hispalel hatana, that this is why the rabbi in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, who mentions both of these things, he starts off by saying that in order to be Jew, not a chassid, in order to be Jewish, you have to be as like a leopard, strong as a lion, quick as a deer, fly as like an eagle, in order to serve Hashem. And then he says, and by the way, as ponim legehenim. The first thing we listed there, to have az kanomer, you should know that az ponim is a one-way ticket to Gehenim. And then the rabbi goes ahead and says, yehi rotzayin shetivne ircha b'mehera b'yemenu. May it be the will of Hashem that your city be rebuilt quickly in our time. When do you find in a Mishnah that a rabbi is praying? That there's a prayer inserted there that a Tana is praying. And Rav Nosson Zal says now, ki heim tarte de sasri adodi lechoira. That Mishnah seems to be contradicting itself. The first line and the last line are saying the exact opposite. Ki az ponim legehenim. You start off by saying that I must have azus, and then you tell me a couple of lines later, az ponim goes to Gehenim. Ube'emes, whereas the truth is, bigdusho tzrichin daiko azus. When it comes to holiness, And when it comes to certain specific situations, the person must, it requires azus. Bechinas hevi az kanomer, be az like a leopard. Valze hispalel hatano. And about this tano, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema prayed to Hashem, yehi rotzoin shetivne ircha. May it be the will of Hashem that your city be built. Meaning, sheyizke la'azus digdusha, meaning, may I be zoiche to acquire the holy azus, shemimenu nivnes Yerushalayim, which is what builds the city of Yerushalayim, which is called Kirya Ne'emona, the city of faith. And Rabbeinu Zal showed over there in the Kutman that emuna is dependent on azus, because emuna comes from tzaddikim. Tzaddikim are the ones that teach you emuna, and you can't get close to tzaddikim without azus. Kamei Shekosav Sham, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, Ayin Sham, look over there in Likutei Moran. V'alkein niskashe Moshe Rabbeinu alzeh. This is why the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was struggling with this. He couldn't figure it out. How? How does one differentiate between Azus Dikdusha, Azus the Sitrach? It's such a fine line sometimes, and it's so easy to make a mistake, especially when Rabbeinu Zal tells us on page 1 of Likut Imran that the Yetzer Hara doesn't wear black clothes. He don't wear red clothes and horns. He's got a long white beard and a beautiful velvet hat. He dresses up like a big rabbi, a big tzaddik, and he says, you want to be religious? Step right over. Come with me. I know all the books. I know all the tricks. I'll show you how to be extra religious, how to insult your parents, insult this, spit on this. That's how you move. That's how you get closer to Hashem. Ah, chutzpah, come on, let's do it together. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty knowing eich lahasig zois. How in the world can a Jew get to a level where he understands completely what's azus dikdusha, what's azus the sitrachra, and he can distinguish between them? Because those shekels which the Jews contributed from their money towards the Mishkan, the hamomoin and money in general, hu bechinas azus. Money is a form of kavod, honor, azus, strength. Kiryasuzai, we said before. And that's what drove them to the golden calf. That's what gave them the chutzpah to turn away from Hashem, to walk away from Hashem. They had a lot of money. Therefore, you would think logically that the Jews should stay far away from money. Don't touch it. This money, which is azus, legamri. Stay totally away from it. Abstain completely. Like some people do. There are people that go to an island and they don't want no wallet, they don't want no cell phones, they don't want no mallet, they don't want no euros, no yens, nothing. They want the trees and the fruits and the water and the fish and have an island. And that's a wonderful, that could be the best life. A lot better than trying to earn money, to make money, right? That's what they think. So people would think that distance yourself totally from money, which is azus legamri, v'livli lehishtamesh oidimoy klal, and not to use money at all whatsoever. It's treif. And there are people that took that attitude. There were people who wouldn't touch money. There are people who had to collect stuck and they would wear gloves, or they would use a cup. They didn't want to touch the coins, that kind of thing, because they know that it's avodah, it's a pasuk, elile kesef, elile zah, idols of gold and silver. It's not a joke. And one of the ways, the Gemara, when it describes one of the rabbis, and it calls him a kodosh, I think, the Gemara says it gives different explanations why he's called so holy. One explanation is he didn't know what a coin looked like. Lo yoda tzura, so he wouldn't look at a coin, especially since the coins in those days, like some of them today, have pictures of kings and leaders, idols. He wouldn't look at it, never looked at a coin. And that put him on a so you would think that would be good advice for all of Klal Yisrael after the Egel Azov. V'Hashem Yisborach Tzivo Lehefech. Whereas Hashem instructed us to do the opposite. V'daiko Badovor Shekilkulu Bo Yistaknu. And it's by using that thing that they messed up with, the gold, that led them into idol worship, we're going to fix that sin with gold. V'tziv aleim, shedaiko al yedei hamomoin, shubachinas azus, yisaknu chetam, that it's with money, which is azus, that's how we're going to fix the sin. Because through this charity that they would give from their money to the Mishkan, it doesn't just repair the $100 or the $1,000 that you give to tzedakah. The $1,000 corrects the 10,000 or the million. All of your monies get a ticken when a person gives the proper, what they're supposed to for tzedakah. The yuchsar el hakedusha, and all the money will return to the realm of holiness. And this will help the person repair, correct, fix the azus that comes from money, the yizku la azus digdusha, and be zeichet to holy azus. V'chein merumas shom b'maimranal. And if you look over there in chapter 22 in Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nazal alludes to this over there, shetzdoka hu bechinas azus digdusha, that tzedakah is a form of holy azus. There's a pasuk. There's a pasuk, hein yitain bekoiloi koil ois. He gives forth with his voice a powerful sound. Person yells, screams. That's ois. That's a form of ois. The blowing of the shofar is a form of ois. Hashem ois lamo yitain. Rabbi Nazar says, when they collect charity, when they collect tzedakah, and they make noise, they shake the money, that's a form of azus digdusha. That's one of the noise that the coins make when they're collecting, when they shake the pushka, that's a form of azus digdusha. And if a Jew is zeicha to give, he's zeicha to take this money that could be used to do such destruction. It could be used to build arrogance in a person, disgusting characters that come for money, to commit all kinds of sins. And a person takes that and turns it around, where the guy who has the money looks at the one who doesn't have the money, and he don't look at him and say, why don't he go to work? Why does it? He says, it's my privilege. He's doing me a tremendous favor by coming to ask. Could be very easily that the roles are supposed to be, that I'm supposed to be the beggar and he's supposed to have the money, and he decided. There are stories like this in Sfarim of people who are getting married. There's a story of a certain boy, very handsome, etc., and somehow a whole set of circumstances that he was offered a shidduch of a girl who had a terrible, terrible physical problem, and debating what to do and everything, and it looked like why in the world would he do such a thing and everything. And the rabbi or the rabbi who was conducting it or the girl herself said they want to meet with him. And they met with him and told him that we were up in heaven. And in heaven they said that you were supposed to be a cripple, you were supposed to be blind. And I thought about it and I said to myself, the man is the one that has to read the books and everything. What do I have to read? I said, you know what? I'll take that. So you should, but it was on condition that we're a team, that we would be together and everything. If you choose not to, then I'll be happy to return. I'll be happy to tell them that I took it on one condition. I took it on condition that we're a set, that I'll be blind, you'll see, and we'll work together. We'll live together in happiness and everything. So when it comes to giving tzedakah, there are people who have all kinds of ra'ayin. They have all kinds of negativity. Why are they collect? Why are they bothering me? Why are they collect? Why all the whys, not knowing to say thank you so much for coming to ask me. I'm sorry that I was an idiot that I had to be asked. I'm sorry that I didn't come to you. I'm sorry that you had to come to my knock on my door in my house. If I were really religious, I'd be out looking to see who needs help, instead of people to have to come knock on the doors and feel so embarrassed and ashamed and everything that they have to come knock on doors. There's two ways of looking at it. There's upside down and right side up. Shem should help that we should stand on our feet, not on our heads. If a person's standing right side up, they see things properly. Oh, Rabbi Nosson Zal continues. Ki isa shom, because Rabbi Nosson Zal says over there in chapter 22 in the Likutei Moran, shekol hakoilois, that all sounds are a form of azus. All types of noise and everything are a form of azus. It's incredible. I have to get ready to laugh a little. A few minutes ago, I was on Har HaMenuchot, one of the holy places in Yerushalayim, where there are many tzaddikim buried there, and I was standing at the kever of one of the tzaddikim, and about 10 feet away, there was a woman who arrived at the kever of another tzaddik. And she started yelling at the top of her lungs, "And Rabbi Shalom Ibelz, listen, this is Chana Brumcha here, and I need you to give my husband a refuah shelema. And while you're at it, he should be ritual," yelling it. And I turned behind me to look like, I can't believe it. She thinks there's nobody. Number one, she's going to wake up the dead people for start, but even the living people, she's going to. Doesn't she know that there are other people in the vicinity in a 1 kilometer area that will not be able to pray if she's yelling at the didn't occur to her at all. And I handled it for like 30, 60 seconds. Then I turned around saying, shh, 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 which was definitely ignored. And her husband, somebody else who was standing close by, tried calling her name, didn't hear it at all, understood, just keep back 2,000 feet. This is what Rabbeinu Zalcy quotes, this pasuk, that all a koilos, when people scream yet loud, it's a form of azus. All sounds, all noise is a form of azus. Va'omer Rabbeinu Zal oz beferish. And when Rabbeinu Zal was teaching this Torah, he said clearly, shegam koil kishkush hamadbeya shel mois tztaka, the sound that the money makes when they shake the pushka, when they shake the coins, hu bechinas azus digdusha. That's a form of azus digdusha. So if a person comes over with the pushka and he makes noise and shut up, stop shaking that thing, to know that he's feeding me azus digdusha. That's there's a holiness that's being this. It's not a bad. It's a good thing, obviously, if it's done within reason in a normal way. That there's a holiness being transmitted there. Kimavur bahashmotos, as is discussed in the appendix to Likutei Moran, Shiloi Nidpesu Adayin, which was not published. This is one of those items that was not published inside the regular Likutei Moran. It's like in the appendixes. And Rav Nosson Zal says, V'chein nira u'muvan b'chush. And we see this in real life. Ki ho'osher, bal momoin harbe, that rich people who have a lot of money, yesh loy azus harbe. They have a lot of gall, a lot of chutzpah. They'll say things and do things that somebody else would never dream of doing. U'kishe'enoi zoiche l'sakein ma'asov. And if this wealthy person has not worked on his midot, if he hasn't trained himself to be a mensch, to act civilized and normal, azai yeshloi azus neged anoshim ksherim, then this person will show that azus towards religious people, v'neged aniyim hagunim, and towards poor people that really need help, genuinely poor people who can't help themselves. It's not that they don't want to go to work. It's not that they're not trying. They're trying to do everything they can. And despite that, they need help, and it's a mitzvah to help them. And this wealthy person, if he doesn't have the right midot, he'll spit on him. He'll insult him. He'll hurt his feelings. Ukiyotzi, or similar things. Vezehu azus de sitra achra. This is an example of that tomeya, that evil azus, v'oisher koze, and that kind of wealth, who oisher shamur leba'olav lerosoi. That wealth is a wealth that's designated for that wealthy person to bury him. He don't know that they're going to burn him in $100 bills, that in Gehenna they're going to want to laugh at him. They're going to say, wow, this is all your money, right? Then they're going to light a match to it. They're going to wrap him up in it. Imagine being wrapped up in $100 bills. He's going to feel like he's the birthday boy. And then they're going to douse it with oil and burn it. Rachmona litzlan. That's wealth that's not a benefit to him. That's not to his benefit and advantage. Umomoin kozehu bechinas avoidezora mamish. That kind of money is called idols. It turned him into an idol. He idolizes himself. He thinks he made it. He created himself. He created the world. I made this money. It's my money. He forgets who he is and where he came from. A filthy droplet. Dirt. Kimavur b'makamacher, as is explained in other places, shehu pegam emuna. Idol worship means lack of emuna. Shenivgam, which was damaged, alidei pegam hoazus, through the wrong type of chutzpah. Dehainu alidei azus de sidrachra. Avol, whereas, Kishemizgaber laharbois bitstokam imamoinoi. When a Jew works on themselves to fight with themselves, to break that nature and to be able to feel comfortable and good and happy about giving away money, giving money to the poor person, azai nistakein kol mamoinoi. Then all of his money, not just the money he gives to the poor person, all of his money gets a tikkun. And his money shines holy azus into him. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, hoin oshir kiryas uzoi. The wealth of the wealthy person is his city of strength. Dehainu lamoid ba'azusoi neged horishoim. His money gives him the ability to stand up against evil people, v'neged hamoinim midarkei Hashem amitim, and against all of those people who would try to block him, who would be obstacles in his being able to come close to true tzaddikim. Lehatzil hachalushei koyach, to save and protect the weak people, hanerdofim, who are persecuted, lehatzilam miyad roifeim, to save them from those who are persecuting them. Kefi darkei Hashem be'emes, the way it's really the right path. V'zehu azus digdusha. This is what's called holy azus. She'ikr tikkun he'emuna gdoishu hu'al yoda. Whereby the most effective tikkun for emuna, anything that's lacking in emuna, is through azus digdusha. Nimtza. So we see, therefore, she'shkolim dahinu tztoko zehu b'chinas azus digdusha. That shkolim, which is one of the forms of tztoko, that is a form of holy azus. It's interesting because recently, in recent months, it's always been going on, but especially in the past year or so in Eretz Yisrael, there's been major debate in the government and the whole country about money for religious Jews and money for Torah and all of this. And there's all kinds of stuff being publicized about how the religious people are milking the irreligious people and milking the economy and the government and everything. And there were people, again, today there's calculators, there's computers, there were people who got hold of the statistics to show what the percentage of money that's being given to the religious and to the yeshivas and all of that versus the money that's being given to the universities and the non-religious. It's about 1/1,000. It's not 10%, it's about like 1 against 1,000, the ratio of what's given to a religious student versus a student who's going to university to study the Buzu Guzu tribe in Hindu and their relationship with the Uzu Buzu tribe in Manchuria, to see how they related to each other and how they propagated and how they evolved into where they are today. That's not everything that's being studied, but that's some of the stuff that's being studied. Oh, also, I'm sorry, they study ecstasy and murder and other stuff. They drugs, you know, the ratio of drugs and crime and all of that stuff in the secular school, those statistics are available also, black and white. It's pretty clear where they have to have guards and everything in the elementary school, in junior high school, of all of these higher institutes of learning, these places of great study. The ratio, it's lies. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's really totally untrue, painting a picture as if the poor people are the criminals, the rich people are the heroes. And then the studies that they've done regarding taxes, who pays, again, how we tax the people. Once again, every once in a while, there's an article that shows clear statistics about how the billionaires and the millionaires pay a third or a tenth of what they're supposed to pay. They have every way in the world to get around. Loopholes to get around, either paying zero taxes or close to zero taxes. And again, our main concern is the kolel people, or the guys that where the husband is working and the wife is working and the kids are gonna, and again, to make sure that they're paying the full taxes that they're supposed to. Make sure we're not losing a penny on the dollar of what they're supposed to be paying. This is part of the olam hasheker, you know, that we are living in. This is the reality. But here, Baruch Hashem, we're studying the Torah, which is the book of Emes, which sets the record straight. Obviously, this is not 100%. This doesn't mean that every non-religious Jew is a criminal, or every religious Jew is a tzaddik. But it means that You have to look very carefully before you're ready to make fun or to say that all of these collectors, they're all a bunch of liars, they're all a bunch of thieves, they all have three cars at home. Watch it. Look very, very carefully before you hurl those kind of accusations. And once again, we mentioned this yesterday, but it's so important to repeat. This, to me, was one of the most incredible things that I ever saw in Likutei Halachos, where Rav Nosson Zal here talks about Azis Dikdusha and Azis the Sitra Achra, and he uses the word Mishkal here, how you have to weigh. It's so delicate to figure out, because sometimes it could look as if it's a mitzvah and it's a sin, and sometimes it looks like it's a sin, it would be the greatest mitzvah if a person jumps and Nachshon Ben Aminadav. How did the splitting of the Red Sea take place? The Jews were praying and screaming. Nothing happened, man. Nothing happened. It's not like in the movie. They were praying. Nothing happened. And until one person said, enough of this, and he put on his bathing trunks and everything, and he ran into the water, and nothing happened. And he went into the water up to his waist, up to his shoulders, up to here. And then he turned up to Hashem and he said, Hoshieni Elokim Kibo Mayim HaNefesh. Hashem, save me because the water level is up to my life. If you don't save me here, I'm going to die, period. If you don't do something now, I'm going to die because I ain't stopping. He was going. And that's when the water split. That was, again, a display of Azus Digdusha, Nachshon Ben Aminodov. That's why we refer, whenever we see a Jew who does something incredible, we call him a Nachshon. He's a Nachshon, you know, that he was able to have the Azus Digdusha to know time to run, you know, jump and do something. Pinchas, who killed Zimri and Cosby, displays of Azus Digdusha. But this is so delicate. How do you figure it? So Rav Nosson Zal says that, let me tell you how delicate it is. On the holiest day of the year, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, the holiest person, he had to perform this ceremony of taking two goats, two ezim, A's number one, A's number two, who looked exactly alike. They had to look exactly identical and draw lots on them. Not that they took out the Shulchan Aruch or Kabbalah books to figure out. No books at all. There aren't any books in the world. There's nobody smart enough to be able to know which is Azus Dikdusha. Smart is not going to do it. They drew lots. They said, Hashem, you're going to decide. You, Hashem, are going to decide which Sawyer is Lashem. Which one of these goats is going to be one of the holiest sacrifices of the entire year, where its blood gets sprinkled on the Kodesh Hashem, and which goat has all the sins of the Jewish people, everything. Which means that this Azus is everything, all the sins. And Rav Nosson Zal says that this shows us that the only way that a Jew can really know whether it's Kiddush or is through prayer, tefillah, begging Hashem for guidance. Help me be able to see with clarity, not through the eyes of my Yetzer Hara. Help me see it through the eyes of the Yetzer Tov, through the eyes of truth, to know when I'm supposed to be tough and when I'm supposed to be soft. The Gemara talks about one of the greatest Tanoim, either Rabbi Elazar b'Reb Shimon or Reb Shimon Elazar, there's a debate, who once gave a shiur, one of his greatest shiurim, and he came out of the Beis Medrash on the 6,000th floor. He was as high as he could possibly be, feeling so thrilled that he was studying such a high level of Torah and teaching such a high level of Torah. And he saw a guy that he had never in his life seen anything uglier than this person. And he made a remark. The rabbi made a remark about him, about how ugly he looks. So the guy looked at this big rabbi and said to him, really? Tell it to my creator. Tell it to the one who made me. I didn't make myself like this. There's a Hashem who made me exact like this. I guess you don't like his hand. I guess you think you could have done better or something. The Gemara says the rabbi jumped off the horse. He realized immediately that he had overstepped the line. And he started begging him for forgiveness. The person told him, go fly six kites, jump in a forgiveness, nothing. Don't want to know you. I want to stay away from you. And the rabbi followed him for 1 kilometer, walking. The rabbi was not on the horse anymore, walking, begging for forgiveness. Then they go into another city, and the whole city comes out to welcome this great rabbi. They heard this rabbi is coming. Everybody came out to. And they're watching this guy walking, and the rabbis went, so somebody says to him, you know who you're walking next to, right? This is the big rabbi. He says, big rabbi, there shouldn't be any more like him, chas v'shalom. The Gemara says the rabbi walked straight into the main shul of that city, and he got up on the podium, and he said, la'olam yehei odom rach kekone, a Jew, a human being, should always be soft like a reed, va'al yehei kosher ke'erez, and not to be stiff and tough like a cedar tree. As this rabbi was saying, watch out, don't go in, no azus the sidrachra, soft, weak, don't be a tough guy. You be a tough guy, you're going to say the wrong thing, and you don't know what kind of deep trouble you can get yourself into, chas v'shalom. You don't know how much gehenim, how many gilgulim a person could have to go through, chas v'shalom, because they crossed a certain line, chas v'shalom. V'alkei nikroim shkolim, and this is why these coins are called shkolim, ki yesh bo ze mishkol godol, because there's an incredible delicate balance. The word mishkol means a balance, that shetzrichin lishkol drochov moid. A person has to weigh their actions, weigh their decisions very carefully, livli lihikoshel chas shom ba'azas tistrachra, not to chas shom fall into the trap of the wrong kind of azas, rak lehizgaber lahachriya hamishkol elakidusha, but rather to work very hard to tip the scale in the other direction, to put stuff on the side of Azus Digdusha, Lahalo is kol ho'azus el hakedusha, to elevate all the Azus's sins, every Avera person does is a display of Azus, to pick up all of that junk and purify it and bring it over to the other side. Through tshuva me'ava, we know a person can convert their sins into mitzvahs. So to elevate all of that Azus and transfer it to the side of holiness. Bechinas machtzis hashekel, trumol Hashem. The half shekel, a donation for Hashem, the canal. Vayidei ze daiko, zoichen lekaporo ulesliho al kol avinoisov. And when a person can do that, when a person can take all of his azus, all the chutzpah that let him do all of those sins, and turn it around completely, and now use all of that azus for Hashem, apply it all for religion, for Yiddishkeit, that's how he'll be zeichah to achieve a complete forgiveness for all sins. Bechinas, as it says over there, lechaper al nafshoy seichem, to atone for your souls, hanemar b'shkolim, which is written by the parsha of Shkolim. Ki mi shenichshal b'avoinus chas v'shalom, because a person who committed sins, chas v'shalom, it is impossible for that person to come close to Hashem and to achieve a complete forgiveness for all different types of sins, unless that person will be zeicha to have this holy azus and to use it the right way. Why? Ki olov mizgabrim hamoinim v'ma'akvim mo'oid mo'oid. Because a person who committed sins, when he decides to become religious, when he decides to become very religious, and he expects Hashem to roll out the red carpet and say, ra, 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 bimbo, look who's here, look who's here, everybody applaud, let's all clap for him. What happens is that all the angels that he created through his sins, every mitzvah creates a good angel, every sin creates a bad angel. All of those angels say, hey buddy, where are you going? Where do you think you are going? You ain't leaving us. And they line up to form a whole obstacle course, a whole major obstacle course to block this guy from getting out, from leaving them, and from entering into the Kiddusha. Uboy mizgarim ho azeponim valeitzonim beyotzer. And against this person, all the people who have chutzpah, all the people who know how to make jokes, how to be sarcastic and make fun of people, they all direct their attention to him, lemonoi miderech hachayim beemes, to block him from coming close to the true path of life. That's regarding people, outside forces. Vegam bedaitoi, and also in his own mind, in his own heart, yochol lipoil mo'oid mo'oid, a person can fall very far down, machmas goydel pshov, because of their great sins, because of the major sins they did. Again, a few hours ago, I had the privilege to be learning with a chavrusa who was a bal tshuva. And we learned this person rode on his bicycle for about half hour to come to the minyan, riding in Yerushalayim, where it's not all flat ground, up hills and down hills and everything, to come pray nets with a special minyan. And he prayed nets, and he put on Rashi tefillin, and he put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, and then afterwards stayed, he scheduled to learn for an hour after davening. And at the end of the hour of learning, he said to me, "Can I ask you a question? One of the things that me and my wife are struggling with is, we keep thinking about our past. We keep thinking about things we did before became religious, and it's like cement shoes. And we're learning about this right now." Rav Nosson Zal says here, this is the reality. V'gam bedaito yochol lipoil mo'oid mo'oid. That a person in his own mind, his own conscience, in his heart, can be pulled down tremendously, machmas goydel pshov, because he can't forget, he remembers the major sins, and somehow, even though he knows that he went through 30 Yom Kippurs, and he went to Uman, and he's saying, but still somehow I'm afraid that it's still... How do I know I've gotten rid of it completely? It's still there. That's number two. Now number three. V'gam tzorich sheyavor olav alofim aliyas v'yeridos. And a person who committed sins and now decides to become religious, that person must go through thousands of ups and downs. It doesn't go like this. It goes like this. This is the way it works in Yiddishkeit. This is the way it works in religion, especially if a person, chas v'shalom, had a period of their life when they weren't religious. Umachmas kol zeh, and because of all of this, ve'yoser mizeh, more than this, im lo yeh lo yasas tikdusha, if this person will not have fuel in his tank, if this person won't be tough, v'yeh chas v'shalom menuvel, v'ra mazel, and if the person will think he's like a piece of garbage, and he's a shakur and shlamazel, I can't do anything right, I can't get anything right. V'yizbate lifnei kol hamoine moisoi. And whenever anybody makes fun of him, or anybody tries to block him from doing a mitzvah, or becoming more religious, he'll be too weak to stand up to them. Shenit meloi shehem toivim v'tzadikim imenu, because it looks to him as if these people are better than him, and they're more religious than him. They're older, they're more experienced, and they're telling me not to go to shul, and they're telling me not to go to that rabbi, or not to give so much charity, all the different things. If the person does not have the azas tikdusha to stand up to that, bevadai loy yuchal iskarev l'ashem yisporach b'shum oifen. That person will definitely not succeed in coming close to Hashem whatsoever. Because even though it's true, on one hand, in one pocket, a person is supposed to look at every single other Jew as better than me. They're better than me, they're more religious than me. Ubifrat mi shechoto be'emes, especially if we're talking about a person who committed sins. We're talking about a person for a period of his life he was doing averus. He didn't keep shot, didn't do this. So for sure, when he sees people dressed up religious, he's got to give in one place in his mind, he's got to say, they're probably all more religious and better than me. Aval afal pikein. However, despite that, lefamim, at times, mizgaber habaldovor al horochoi kabol eskarv l'ashem isporach, the yetzahara, the satan, starts fighting this person who wants to come close to Hashem now, umislabe shesatzmoi daiko be'eze ish shu'toiv menu, and the yetzahara dresses himself up in a person who looks much more religious than this Baal Tshuva. Or he is more religious in many ways, let's say. He's keeping much more mitzvahs because he's been studying Yiddishkeit for 15 years. And this person's studying Yiddishkeit for 15 days. So there's no competition in a way. And sometimes the Yetzer Hara will use that religious person, ad shezeh ho'ish roitze lemonoi miderach hachayim. And the Yetzer Hara is going to use that person to block the Baal Tshuva from coming close to Yiddishkeit, from coming close to a particular rabbi or a particular yeshiva, whatever it is, that kind of thing. V'zeh hadavar shchiach ma'oid ma'oid. And this is not one in a million. This is very prevalent, Rav Nosson said. This is normal. Bifrat achshuv badoiros halolu, especially now during our times, and Rav Nosson Zal wrote this 150 years ago, it's become much more prevalent in the last 150 years, that the opposition, many times when a person wants to become religious, wants to become more religious, there'll be religious people talking them out of it in different ways. Not saying be a goy, but you don't want to learn those, you don't want these books, you don't go to that rabbi, you don't want to do this. Trying to block the person from getting close to Hashem or getting closer to Hashem. Al kein, therefore, tzorech sheyil azeh harochay kabol eskare, this person who's far but wants to come close has to have azus godol digdusha ma'oid ma'oid. He's got to have very, very holy azus and a lot of powerful azus. Shezeh ho azus nimshach machmas busha daiko. And this azus is based on how embarrassed he feels, how ashamed he feels, how small he knows he is. Ve'yomer b'libo, he should say to himself, v'chi mipnei sha'ato toiv mimeni, just because you're more religious than me, tirtza limnoya si chas v'shom yidarach haim, you're going to tell me not to learn? You're going to tell me that this book, which is giving me inspiration, it's making me more religious, or this tefillah, davening in this shul, which is making... You're going to tell me not to, I shouldn't go there? I should go away from it? Because that is not what Hashem wants. Ki adara, but just the opposite. Im hoisa toiv bemes, if you were really a good Jew, koroi the way you're supposed to be, koroi lias, the way a Jew is supposed to be, bevatai hoisa mizgaber b'choloi z'lekorveni l'Hashem Yisborach, you would be do everything you could to help me come close to Hashem. V'loi l'rachek chasham, not to push me away. K'moy sharinu b'moyshe rabbeinu olav Hashem v'chol atzidik madol mitim, like we saw by Moshe Rabbeinu and all the great true tzaddikim, shemosru nafsham tomid b'shvil harachoykim daika, that they put their life on the line for those people who are far from Hashem. Who did Avraham Avinu defend? Not the big rabbis and not the medium rabbis. He defended Sedoim. We have a whole section of Torah where Avraham Avinu goes to bat to try to save the worst of the worst, most evil, evil people. Haboim l'skar v'Hashem Yisbor, who are trying to come close to Hashem. We'll hold it over here for now. We're in the middle of a paragraph. Al kein. Therefore, and we'll, Mitzvah Shem, we'll continue with the therefore tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. And I hope.